This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, August 5th, 2018. The 10th Sunday after Trinity, by Father Jason McCrimmon.
I am the bread of life. Dear Lord, keep the doors of my lips, and I sin against thee in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I have a question for you this morning, and that is, why do we go looking for things? Why do we look for something that has become lost? If it is because it is lost, is it because we feel it's something that we need? And if we do go looking for something, how much energy do you normally put into that search? Is there a time, a point where you give up, where the search is too hard or too tedious or too long that we give up because the item is just not that important to us? If you lost a gift card around the house, how much energy would you exert to hunt for that item? Each of us would probably have some sort of different answer. Some would say it depends what it was for. Others would say it would depend on the value of the card. And some would say I would stay up all night because it has monetary value. The energy we exert, the actions we demonstrate, show us our feelings for the object and how much we really care. I have lost countless small items that are useful around the house, things that I remember later when I need them. When you have kids, this tends to happen. Do I stay up all night and search for them? Absolutely, because I'm neurotic. But would others? Probably not. For a time, I was a manager of a large retail store, and beyond the daily routines associated with the job, we had procedures in place for unforeseen circumstances. And one of those that happened quite regularly was a lost child alert. Somebody, like a parent, lost somebody in the store, and they needed to find them quickly. If someone notified us of a lost child, every free employee would guard the exits of the store. They would turn their radios to a specific channel and look for these children through clothing and hair color and what they look like, while the parent and the management walked the store to find that child. Once there was a child that climbed into a clothing rack. He was playing hide and go seek. Unfortunately, he fell asleep, and he was asleep there for well over an hour. Needless to say, after looking for an hour, with the mother screaming in panic, calling the police and speaking with them, she was not ready to give up looking for her child, because she loved the child, because she adored the child, and there was no substitute that could take the place of that child. I could not reassure her that her child would be found. Just go about your shopping. She would not be content going around running errands while her child was missing. Consequently, she kept searching. Our passage today takes place shortly after Christ feeds the 5,000. Searching for time alone, possibly to reflect on the death of his cousin, he sends the apostles across the lake. And as we all know, he walks to them later on, which is a sermon for a different day. They land in Capernaum, and the crowds realize he is gone, and they go looking for him. This is the point at which our reading begins. This begs the question, why did the people begin to look for him? They received their food, they heard their sermon. Why didn't they go home? That's the general pattern on Sundays, is it not? Why do they continue to want to try and find him? Jesus says to them, "Amen, I say to you, you are not looking for me because you saw signs, but because you ate the loaves and were filled." We must understand that God is not a human king who solves our human problems. In a day and age where we come to expect governments to care for us and treat us like children, it becomes easy to think of God this way, where he comes in and swoops in and fixes everything for you. We vote for and against people constantly that give us what we want. Just wait for a couple of months when all the commercials really start. When they tell you your Social Security check is coming, that you can have your right to abort babies, to honor your values, or give you your freedom. We spend our money based upon services that we get. And we are trained to believe that everything in this world is for our benefit. Everything in this world is for our, to serve us. And we try to fit God in that box, that prideful box of self-gratification. So this begs the question, not only why the people did go looking for Jesus, he tells us later in the narrative, but why do they go looking for God? Why do we come to church on Sundays? Is it for tradition's sake? Did your mom and dad go so you feel like you have to? You have to set the example for your children? Is it for convenience? Does it get you motivated for Sunday so you can get up early, go eat a fresh start, and take apart your day, your last day of the weekend? Do you come because God is your problem solver and you feel that if you check the box of attendance, he will continue to solve your problems, but he will stop the moment you stop attending? Oh God, please make my bills go away. Oh God, please make my job better. Oh God, please heal, and you can fill in the blank. Now, there is a sense in which relying on the providence and mercy of God is good. Who hasn't been late for a meeting or looking for a parking space when you're rushing somewhere and you beg God to give you just enough time to stop the sun in the sky or to open up that parking spot? But what we should ask ourselves is, what is the motivation behind those requests? Does God just exist to solve our physical issues and our problems? What drives our motivation to seek him out, similar to what the people did in this reading? St. Ignatius once wrote, "Do not seek out the consolation of God, but seek the God of consolation." If your motivation is to have your needs met instead of being at one who meets those needs, your motivation is absolutely wrong. It is misguided. It is misdirected, like those people there that were looking for Jesus. And that is what Jesus is stating here. As he's correctly stated to them, Moses did not provide them the bread. God does. And just like that, prayer, attendance at Mass, confession, all these things are not the originators of the peace that you seek. They are the tools used by the one who gives you that peace. God is the peace that you seek, and when your motivation is driven to be with him, he will use those things to bring you closer to him. And that's what our ultimate goal should be. But if your motivation is to fulfill some physical need, if you pray to God only so your finances don't get out of control, or your kids don't get sick, or you don't die, then your motivation is wrong. And you will be distant from God, and he will not provide you what you need. Those tools will be as empty and as fleeting as the bread was for those people. You will have an empty stomach again, and you will need to go searching for him one more time. How do we know this? Because Jesus told us so. When he states, "I am the bread of heaven," he is clearly telling them the words that Moses heard. "I am. I am God. I am he who provides the peace that the world cannot give. I am he who gives the peace that passes all understanding. I am the bread of life, not loaves and fishes that will leave your belly empty the next day, but the spiritual bread that gives you eternity, the spiritual bread that brings you healing, the spiritual bread that brings you closer to God, makes you one with him. Why do you come to church today? Why do you seek Jesus? If it is because you know and desire to eat that bread and drink that cup that is him, then you shall have eternal life. Reflect on his words today. Analyze why you are here, and let that peace transform you into an intimate relationship with him, and in so doing, a relationship with the Father. Amen.